So it was the very first time that I was confronted with someone whose beliefs were dramatically in opposition to my own. So I grew up in suburban Maryland. Yes, there were only four Jewish kids in my graduating class in senior high school. Richard Montgomery, for those of you that want to know. But it was the D.C. area. Spent time as a counselor at different Jewish summer camps, finished 2 years of rabbinic school. But basically, everybody's belief spectrum was about here, not here. 1981, that summer, I did my first unit of training as a hospital chaplain. To say it was culture shock, being the only rabbi in this group, would be an understatement. So I learned like all kinds of new things that were very common parlance for Christian divinity students. They talked about being called to the ministry, that God called them. I said, oh my gosh, is it a local call? Only in Israel. I learned about praying with people. It was a whole different vocabulary and experience of prayer. But the most radical moment came one day when we were having lunch together, the group that I was a part of, the small group, and somehow the topic of abortion came up in that conversation. Everyone I had ever known was pro-choice. Here I met a minister who was adamantly opposed to abortion. She was in her 50s. She came to the ministry as a second career. There was no movement in either one of our positions. I had never met anybody who was categorically opposed to abortion and a woman's right to choose. The news over the last couple of months has been especially troubling. Alabama, the complete ban on abortions. Six states, including Georgia, Ohio, and Missouri, have enacted prohibitions which say that after a fetal heartbeat is detected, an abortion cannot be performed. This may be 6 weeks before many women know that they are pregnant. As a man, I want to speak carefully about this issue. I don't experience the same depth of emotion that women have when talking about these issues. As a person who often speaks about difficult topics, I'm also aware that there are subjects like this one which can bring forward many different emotions. And as a rabbi of Temple B'nai Shalom, it's important to affirm that members of our congregation have different viewpoints about events in the world and in our lives. At the same time, it's important to speak about critical issues. Judaism offers insight for every aspect of our lives. This evening, with the sensitivity of this topic, I want to reflect on the realities that people confront, to look at what Jewish tradition says, not what we want it to say, and talk about a few ways to respond. I worked in New York for 18 years. In that time, and at the high point, we had over 400 kids in our youth groups. Hi, Doug. He's from Syosset. His family belonged to the temple. It wasn't a plant. I don't want you to figure out who I'm talking about. In that time, there were two teenage girls in the synagogue who had abortions. Think of how scary it was for these two teenagers when they each learned that they were pregnant. Think of their fears about life, the difficult decision that they had to make, the thought after thought, and the continual worry. It's terrifying to think of a young person today in a state like Alabama where that could occur. What would she do? What would her family do? I learned about each situation from a member of the synagogue staff different people who helped each young woman, I felt relief that these two young ladies had found a confidant at the temple. Abortion bans are not abstract. They can directly affect the people that we know. 1981 took a year off and worked as a hospital chaplain. One night when I was a call, I was paged. You remember what a pager is. And I was paged to labor and delivery. A woman there had decided to have an abortion. I still remember the darkness in the room because she was very far along in her pregnancy when she learned that she had Tay-Sachs disease again, that the first time she was pregnant, the child had Tay-Sachs, and now this not yet born had Tay-Sachs. It's a very, very painful death to watch. And the room was dark, but they had already introduced the drug that would induce the abortion. She asked me about Jewish law. I sensed that what she was saying about Jewish law and the need could ease guilt, but it wasn't a time to talk about laws and theories. It was a time to support her during this very, very painful time, to reassure her about her decision and help in any way possible to bring comfort. We can each pause and we may be able to think of women, we may be able to think of families we know and different situations, different decisions about pregnancy. These are such difficult decisions, to have a child, to not have a child. Decisions which people face all too often. So what does Judaism say? On one level, as I said, the classic texts are secondary. But at the same time, we look to the wisdom of our heritage. And we need to speak accurately about Jewish views and not say, this is the view that fits what I believe. There's some text in the Bible, but they're easily misinterpreted. But the Locus Classicus is from the Mishnah written around the year 200 from Tractate Oholot, chapter 7. You would think that these words could be written today. It says, if a woman is having trouble giving birth, they cut up the child in her womb and bring it forth limb by limb, because her life comes before the life of the child. But if the greater part has come out, meaning if the baby has, the head is crowned, one may not touch it, for one may not set aside one person's life for that of another. The concept of the rabbis is called the rodeif, that if one person is pursuing another to take their life, you have to do everything you can to save the life of the one being pursued. It's such a graphic text. And it's a situation I've seen in the hospital that actually can happen. But in our conversations today, it takes on a different level. Because when people say life begins at conception, that is also a faith-based point of view. And you see, Judaism, as a religious tradition, has a very different faith-based point of view. For one side to try to make their faith law for all is obscuring the rights of others. The Orthodox world makes the decision, their decisions based on this idea of the life of the mother, and that a therapeutic abortion is always allowed, but not elective. Rabbi Emanuel Jacobovitz, the former chief rabbi of England, expanded the principle, though. And he expanded it in a liberal way to say that this principle also includes the mental health of the mother. The Women's Rabbinic Network has come up with a very, very powerful statement, one which Rabbi Rappaport has shared with many. And I want to share just a little bit of it with you because it is a powerful statement about the way that we as a Reform community interpret faith for these difficult issues. We believe every woman has a right to choose what happens to her body. We also value human life and its potential. We trust women. The ability God gave to women to carry potential life comes with power and responsibility. We trust women to carry out the blessings and questions that comes with this extraordinary capacity. As Jews, we're part of a long-standing legal tradition which parses every case, which rejects sweeping legislation to regulate every situation and circumstance. Jewish wisdom is there to guide individual circumstances. We trust each woman to draw on her own tradition and make the best decision for herself, the people around her, her doctors, and spiritual leaders. Every case is unique. We trust every woman. We value relationships as sacred. Just as women must navigate the sacred trust of pregnancy, we also hold dear relationships with others who hold different points of view. We welcome and honor thoughtful dialogue and disagreement for the sake of heaven, for the sake of furthering understanding, to find divinity in its wondrous forms. So I've spoken several times about my friends, Sister Pat and Sister Joanne. They were incredible women. As I said, they were featured in this documentary called Band of Sisters about nuns since the changes in Vatican II. Very involved in a myriad of social justice, of a myriad of service projects in the Chicago area. I always love driving if I can carpool with two Roman Catholic nuns who were in their 70s. One used to be a work in Peru in a full habit, climbing up mountains. The other was a principal of a Catholic school. Tough people. And I was conscious one day as we were stuck in Chicago traffic of our unspoken agreement that there were issues to which we were deeply, deeply committed that we worked on together. But there are other issues where we disagreed. But it was so important for us to work on the way that we could come together to affirm the presence of the divine in the world. As you might imagine, I'm unequivocally pro-choice based on my experiences and my understanding of our heritage. We each searched our hearts. And I want to conclude with two sentences from this statement. We trust women. The ability God gave women to carry potential life comes with power and responsibility. We trust women to carry out the blessings and questions that come with this extraordinary capacity. We welcome and honor thoughtful dialogue and disagreement for the sake of heaven, for the sake of coming closer as one humanity, imbued with divinity and all its wondrous forms. Shabbat Shalom.